What's going on, everybody? You got Javen and Anna here, and you are listening to STL by Design, brought to you by AIGA St. Louis. What is going on, Anna? What's good?
A whole lot. I'm recovering from Thanksgiving still, I think.
Post-T-Day.
Yeah, it was nice. I took a vacation before Thanksgiving, too, so I've been out of work for like a week. So it's a little weird coming back.
Same. It's always weird coming back, like, after a week of, you know, in anything, really. Like, even in school, you know, after coming back after a week to a month, depending on what kind of break you had, it's just kind of strange, right?
Yeah, it's hard. It's really hard.
But, you know, that said, I mean, I think we're going to do, what, one more episode after this, and then we'll take a holiday, quote-unquote, holiday break?
Yep, I think that's the plan.
Word.
See if we can figure out our technical difficulties.
Yeah. So if you're joining us for the first time, Anna and I are both Design for Good co-chairs within the board of AIGA St. Louis, and our intent with this show is to highlight any efforts at the intersection of creativity and positive impact.
Yeah, and last week we did something a little different, and we talked about what's going on in AIGA St. Louis with our Unite by Design initiative, which we see as a new way to engage in the design community to help facilitate connections and learn from each other. This week, we're going back to what we usually do, which is an interview, and we'll be talking to Priscilla Block of St. Louis Artworks, which is a local arts apprenticeship program that has been around for quite a while, and it's really had kind of a positive impact on the St. Louis community.
And by we are talking to Priscilla Block, Anna means she is talking to Priscilla Block, because again, technical difficulties. Surprise, surprise. But I digress. So, Anna, what made you... You were part of this program, right?
I was. I think it was like 2008, 2007, somewhere around there. I think I was in middle school. It was really cool. I liked it a lot. I don't have a whole lot of specific memories about it just because it was so long ago.
Right.
But I remember really liking it, and I remember feeling really accomplished and like grown up for, you know, doing this thing and like sitting down and kind of doing a job for a designated amount of time. So it always stuck with me, and so I thought it would be a cool opportunity to kind of check in with them and get an interview in and see what they're actually all about.
Well, you know what? I say we get straight to it. What do you think?
Let's do it.
All right.
So today we're going to be talking to Priscilla Block, who is the executive director of St. Louis Artworks, which is a local St. Louis program for kids that want to get involved in the arts community. And so, Priscilla, I just wanted to start off really easy and talk about what St. Louis Artworks is, how long it's been around.
St. Louis Artworks is a job training program for teens ages 14 through 18, using arts as the vehicle to bring employment skills and life skills to these teens. They are paid apprenticeships that last either 6 weeks in the summer, 12 weeks in the fall, or 13 weeks in the spring. They work as a team, and they do group commissioned work as well as individual works of art in many different disciplines, from media to sculpture, to painting, printmaking, robotics, and sometimes performing arts as well.
That's awesome. And so how did you get involved?
Well, I applied for the job in 2001 and got it. I was the first executive director hired year-round for the organization. And I was somebody that had been a practicing artist for many years as well as taught art. So I had a lot of contacts in the community to be able to reach out and find artists to hire to teach, as well as understand the makeup of the different disciplines, the supplies needed, and how to put together a group to do it.
It's really cool. And so how did the program kind of, how did you see a change from when it didn't have an executive director year-round to having you there to kind of organize it throughout the entire year?
Well, when I was hired, it was just a six-week summer program, and there was no consistent face to it from year summer to summer. So I was the first time that there was a consistent face and contact to the organization. After the first year there, I said we had to get out of being downtown under tents and get inside a building. So we moved to the Adams Elementary School in Forest Park Southeast. Then after about another 4 years, I said it's way too much work to raise all this money just for a six-week program, especially when the need is so high year-round. So we began year-round programming in the fall of 2005. In 2006, we moved into Grand Center, and we were in the Centene Center for Arts and Education, one of their first incubator tenants in that building. We were there for 9 years. We expanded to have a satellite office in for a few years at the Commerce Bank Education Center and over at Cardinal Ritter High School, and then eventually to a year-round studio in Old North on 14th Street. After having that for 3 years, plus our place in Grand Center, it became very expensive to try to go between both sites, and we didn't have nearly enough room still. So we took a big gamble, and we borrowed money and moved to a wonderful place that we're in now in the Loop East at 5959 Delmar. We have a gorgeous building that has been able to expand with us, and we're able to do a lot more than we've ever been able to.
So when you came on, were there certain expectations you had for how the program would develop, and did the program kind of meet those expectations or exceed it or do something unexpected?
I am the classic definition of an accidental arts administrator. So, no, there was not any defined path for me other than as I saw the need, as I had imagined the ideas for what we could do, the program grew to that. So now it's been 18 years, and we have quite an expanded media lab, and we have quite an expanded makerspace. So we've got a lot of stuff going on over here.
And so with the, now that you've expanded past the six-week program, are there any differences between the programs, or are they all kind of the same and they just kind of happen at different times?
Yeah, there's a lot of difference between them. The summer program is our most intensive. It is 5 hours a day, 5 days a week for 6 weeks. And it's a lot of time to spend together with one group working on a unified project as well as individual projects. We probably make our largest amount of commissioned revenue during that time frame too. The fall and the spring, they only work 5 hours a week. And if they're on a two-day work week, it's 2.5 hours each day. So it's very split up, and it's a very long period of time to reach the same amount of finished product by the end. The kids have a different way of getting to know each other, and it's a totally opposite time of day that they come because they don't start until 3:30, whereas in the summer they finish at 3:30.
Yeah, I remember that. For our listeners, I actually was an apprentice in this program right before I went into high school. So I'm guessing somewhere in the 07, 08 area. Can't remember exactly, but I did the summer program. And I remember doing, like, when I first heard about it and thinking, like, oh, wow, that's a lot of time to spend in one place. But it wasn't that bad. It was really nice, actually, to kind of have, like, that concentrated, like, 5 hours to, like, do your stuff and talk to people and all work on the same project. So I remember enjoying that a lot, and it didn't feel as bad when you were actually doing it.
Well, when we take surveys of our kids to find out what they got the most out of from the program. Without a doubt, 99% of them say they made friends they wouldn't have otherwise met, and they made lasting relationships with people. And that's a very healthy thing for the kids in our program to experience, along with making art, along with learning about physical literacy and many of the other health-based life skills that we present to them. Most of the kids do not come to work at Artworks because they want a career in the arts. They like making art, and they are considering a career in the arts. But usually by the time they're off to college, they've been advised against it by some well-meaning adult who thinks that there's not enough money involved in the arts, which is not true if you think about how creativity and creative thinking is used in any business. The arts are part of all businesses.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I'm kind of curious, like, when you do these surveys, do you get any results that kind of surprise you?
After 18 years, not really. maybe I should, but I haven't so far.
That's interesting. And do you think, have you noticed, so I know you said that a lot of the kids, like, they come in maybe thinking they want to be interested in art as a career, and then they go out and a lot of the adults around them kind of discourage them. Have you found, or have you talked to any kids that kind of pushed back, and you think that that was a result of your program? Like, they were told, like, art isn't really, you know, like a career, and they said, but
we have a lot of our apprentices that have gone on into the arts, and we have a very strong reputation in many of the art schools in the Midwest, Kansas City Art Institute, Chicago, Columbia University there, Chicago Art Institute. There are a lot of places that Artworks kids, when they apply, already have a leg up because they know the quality of our program. We hear about kids that have gone on into the arts because if they're successful, they contact us because they want us to know, because they want to check back and see what's going on with Artworks. I sure remember that. And so that's who we hear from. If there's somebody that didn't go on, didn't enjoy it, we're not likely to hear back from them. So we do not have a budget to hire somebody, which would take full time to call every single person every other year and find out what they're doing. But we know enough by the ones that do contact us back that we have a significant amount that have gone into the arts. As a matter of fact, we have somebody that might have been working when you were, Stasia Curry, who is now teaching for us, and she was an apprentice.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, we've had a couple of apprentices work for us in the past.
It's really cool. And so this is a little bit off that topic, but I was just curious because I know you mentioned before, like, all of the different media that the kids get to kind of experiment and play with. Has graphic design kind of played a part in that? And how do you see that? Do you see a distinction between, like, graphic design or just kind of design as a term and art in the fine art sense? And, like, has that reflected in your program at all?
Well, design's part of every one of our disciplines. We do have a graphic design component. We have a social enterprise called Boomerang Press, which is expanded into Boomerang Press Media. So there is video as well as graphics that are done in that specific genre. But certainly design is an important component of any kind of painting you're going to make, print you're going to do, sculpture you're going to make. You've got to design it first.
Yeah, it's very true. I think we both agree with that. And so when you're looking for apprentices, because I'm sure you get a lot of applications and you have to be selective. And so what kind of person are you looking, what kind of kid are you looking for when you're going through these applications?
Frankly, we're looking for someone who will be a good employee and have a good experience. We get hundreds of applications, way more than we can possibly hire. And we select the applications that were filled out the most thoroughly and thoughtfully. And we invite twice as many as we can hire in for an interview. And they meet with adults to be interviewed. I'm sure you were before you got into the summer program. Did you go through an interview process?
I can't remember. I don't. I probably.
I'm sure you did.
I'm sure yeah. I did. I just can't remember. Yeah.
So then there are other components that come into play, how they do in an interview, how much they can convince the people interviewing them that they're interested in a job making art and they understand what that means. And then there's also funding that drives decisions. We have certain funders that will only support youth that live in the county. We have certain funders that will only support youth that live in the city. So we have a numbers game that we have to fill out that way, too. So we know we're going to need, 60% of our youth to come from North County or the county. That heavily weighs who we then are able to hire.
And so when you are looking for teachers, how does that process work? Like, how are you finding people that are willing to or that want to teach these programs, and what's the process there?
Well, I know a lot of artists in this region, and they introduce me to other artists. I put out a call when I'm needing somebody specifically. Lately, I've been trying to build up a group of artists that would work for us in robotics.
Oh, wow.
But it's a reach. And then I look for one of our funders insists that they have a college degree. Some of our funders would prefer that they have a master's degree. So that's how I look at things. And I also want to see whether they've had any experience working with teens before, what their teaching experience has been.
Yeah, it's really cool to hear that, like, it's kind of word of mouth and you, like, reaching out to people that you think would be good for the job. It's nice to hear there's, like, a personal connection there.
Yeah, and a lot of people reach out to me and just say, hey, I'd love to work there. Here's information on me.
Yeah, and so this kind of jumps off of it a little bit, but it's kind of tangential. So how have you seen St. Louis Artworks kind of affect the St. Louis community, like either just in the arts sector or just in general? Like, what kind of, because you have people that are coming to you that are interested in teaching, and you obviously have a lot of kids that are really interested in your program. And so you have a presence. And so how do you think that presence has kind of influenced the community as a whole?
Well, it has in many different ways. It's influenced the community in terms of right down to families needing a safe place for their teenagers to go. Teenagers needing to earn a salary to make some money. It's impacted the community by being recognized by Michelle Obama as one of the 12 top programs in the country.
Wow.
So we've brought some national recognition to the organization, which brings it to St. Louis. We have certainly left behind our mark with many pieces of commissioned public art. Last summer we did two public murals, one on the Mary Meacham Crossing down in Great Rivers Greenway Trail at the riverfront, one next door to us on a building WashU owns on Del Mar. We had one dedicated over the North Sarah development. We've got sculptures around town. We have another business called Boomeracks, where we make bicycle racks out of recycled bicycle parts. And we've got over 30 of those racks around the city. So we leave behind a lot of legacy that way. Many artists that have worked for us have gone on and gotten full-time teaching positions elsewhere because of their experience working with us. So there are a lot of different ways we've impacted the community.
Kind of curious about, like, So like Boomerax is, that's a really cool idea. And how did, was that one of the like capstone projects for the apprentices? Like how do you come up with, or how do you, yeah, I mean, how, so how do you come up with the projects that they do and like all of these different programs?
Well, in 2000, I guess it was eight, we won the, maybe it was 2006, we won the Scandalera Center competition for social entrepreneurship. And with that, we started Boomerang Press. And so we've always been leaders in social entrepreneurship in the region. And then when, I think it was 2008 that we started Boomerax, it was an idea that was based on need. There were places that asked us, could we make a bike rack? And we said, sure. And so we came up with the concept of using recycled bike parts to make the bike rack. Then we got a third social enterprise called Bloomworks. And Bloomworks is art for the garden, public park, and urban streetscape. And that includes anything from murals to benches to sculptures.
It's really cool. I remember we did a mural for like the Missouri Health Foundation, I think, or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun because I think it was like all of us trying to come up with what to do. And like, you know, there was roles.
Were you working with Kababi at that time?
With who?
Kababi. Who was your teaching artist?
I thought it was Connie and Melanie.
Okay, Melanie, yeah.
I think those were the two.
Con,
yeah.
Con Christensen.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Well, so that's part of the job training that we want the kids to have, is learning how to work as a team, to design as a team, to understand that different team members have different strengths, and to finish something on time for a client as a team.
Yeah, and I think it was also nice because, like, you have group projects in, like, in school and stuff, but it's a little different because this isn't necessarily for a grade. Like, you have to get it done on time, but it's not, like, an assignment for school that you have to get a grade on. And, you know, everyone in the class is going to get a different grade. So it was kind of a different way to work in a group that I think was new to me.
Well, it's the way business works. That's why you interviewed with a client. Probably went over to the foundation. They probably had lunch for you.
Yeah, I can't remember. I'm sure they, I think we went over there, yeah.
I'm sure you did.
But I remember that being really cool and like doing all the mock-ups for everything. That was really fun. And it was definitely like a new experience for me. And so did you, have you, I know that you said that a lot of apprentice alum have kind of reached out and told you about their success stories. Have you heard any stories about the program that like how it impacted them or things that they remember that kind of resonated with you or surprised you or anything like that?
Well, yeah, there's been lots of them from before my time there, from the very first year where I heard from someone who went on to become the head of the poetry department at Missouri Central University and has a doctorate in poetry.
Oh, wow.
And for her, she's white. It was her first experience being in a group with mostly people of color, and it had a profound impact on her. There were people that have gone on to do major fashion design that have contacted me and are teaching fashion design over in Sweden. I know people that I just ran into 3 weeks ago that said, oh my gosh, my daughter and her best friend, you know, now they're at WashU. One's a doctorate and teaches there, and one's got a master's and is doing some sort of research there. So there are people all over that have done amazing things. We had one that I ran into at one of our events. I tend to meet new apprentices at our events. and past apprentices at our events, who had got on and gotten her master's in biology and was teaching it, and then she went and got her doctorate, and what her doctorate thesis was about was the importance and impact of teaching biology through art. So it never left her.
That's awesome. That's a really interesting topic. Huh.
It's an awesome program.
Yeah, it really is. And I hadn't realized like how big it had gotten kind of. I don't even think I really knew the scope of it when I was there even. Have you guys expanded like significantly in the last, decade? And if not, are you looking to expand more or?
We have expanded significantly. We went from 3,800 square feet to 18,000 square feet.
Oh,
we
wow.
now had 200 apprenticeships last year. We had 94 kids in our summer program. Our fall and spring program has grown to sometimes as high as 72 kids. So we are growing, and we have a growing need out there as well.
So now that you have like so many kids in the summer program, because I remember when I was there, the group I was with was maybe like 20 kids or something, somewhere around there. Like it wasn't a big group, but I wonder, do you break them up into smaller?
It was probably closer to 16.
Maybe, yeah.
Go on.
Do you break them up now into smaller groups, or do they all? Because I know that we had like a larger group, and then we kind of broke up a little bit.
No, we keep it about 14 to 16 groups.
Okay.
I mean, 14 to 18 kids in a group, depending on what we're doing and where we are. We tend to have more kids in painting and drawing and fewer kids in robotics and sometimes in media.
That's interesting. And so do they all kind of work? They all kind of work in the same building, but they're just in different like classroom settings.
Everybody's here in the same building.
Okay, that's awesome. Do they all get to like meet together for lunch and stuff? I know these are weird questions. I'm just kind of curious because it's gotten so big.
We cannot fit 95 kids for lunch in one sitting.
That's true.
So we have two lunch sittings.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just curious.
They might have even done three. I can't remember.
Yeah, I just remember it feeling so intimate and small. And so hearing these numbers is interesting to me because, you know, as a participant, it didn't feel like overwhelmingly large or anything, which I think was good, but. I was just curious about the logistics of that.
Yeah.
So how many educators have you had throughout your program that have taught?
I don't have a count of that.
That's fair.
I don't know. I would say we've had probably at least 20 a year, at least. And this is our 23rd year, so that's a minimum.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so do they build the curriculums for whatever the projects for that summer or for that season are, or do they work within
the artists are in charge of putting together the curriculum.
Awesome.
And we give a pre-test, a midway test, and a post-test on it to see how well they've done.
That's really cool. Have there been any curriculums that have kind of stood out to you that you thought were really cool or interesting?
Nothing that I can recall at the moment that was stronger than anything of the other ones. We insist on all of them being good.
Well, yeah.
Some artists are better at creating a curriculum than others, and some artists are better at following their curriculum than others.
Yeah, I think I saw that in art school. Thank you so much for talking with us today.
Sure. Good luck.
All right. Thank you. All right, everyone. That was Priscilla Block with St. Louis Artworks that we talked to. Dave, you might have noticed Javen wasn't on the interview. We were having some more technical difficulties. But We persevered through them, and you'll hear him now.
Right now, yeah. I mean, I'm right here.
He's been sitting here.
Yeah. And so, well, I tell you what, surely was interesting to sit and watch Anna talk about it with Priscilla, you know, the whole time. Super interesting, don't you think?
Yeah, it was kind of weird doing it myself. But I think it was a good conversation.
Yeah, it was good.
It was fun.
So, a little bit off topic, I realized we never really quite said maybe how often we're going to be airing these episodes, have we?
I don't think we have. I think we know, but no one else does.
No? I mean, correct us if we're wrong to you whom are listening, but we will be airing these bi-weekly, ideally. Since it's the holiday season now, we will likely be, I think, doing one more episode after this in a couple weeks.
I think that's the plan.
Yeah, and then we'll be taking a break until 2019.
It's crazy how fast. How fast this year's gone.
This is our third episode.
Yeah.
Just like that. So, that said, everyone, please, please, please be sure to provide us with any feedback, be it in person or through the AIGA St. Louis social medias, just about what you think about the show, what we could improve on, etc., etc., etc.
And if you listened to our last episode about Unite by Design and you still wanted to talk to us about that, feel free to reach out about that initiative too, because we still want to hear from everyone else. And the surveys are still in progress. We've got a schedule going, so that should be coming at you soon-ish. Hopefully before the new year, but we'll see. And then also, we're still looking for people if you're interested in doing graphics for the podcast. That'll go on all the social media and that'll be associated with each individual episode. So if you have any graphics you want to throw at us, please do. We love to see stuff other than our own work.
That's right. Now's your time.
Now's your time to shine.
That's it. That's exactly right. So we want to thank St. Louis Artworks and Priscilla Block for taking the time to chat with us. They're already doing great things, right? So
busy people.
Yeah, and we appreciate their time, and we appreciate your time. Also, want to shout out to Critical, as always, for the dope music.
Yeah, and again, Alessio for helping us out with all of our weird stuff and providing us with some awesome equipment.
True, true. I'd say that's about it, huh?
Yeah, should we try to play out now?
We're going to definitely cut this part out, maybe. But, I don't think we cussed in this entire episode.
I think we did pretty well.
Yeah.
I think this will be the one and only.
That's the kind of shit I'm talking about.
Well, now you f***ed it up. Well.
So it goes. But anyway, thanks once again for listening to STL by Design. I am Javen.
And I'm Anna.
And we are out. Peace. Play us out, Critical. And I didn't even mess it up this time.
Oh no. What are we
Swag. Gotcha.
What are we going to do for our outro blooper now?
I don't know, but I hope we don't offend any of you listeners with this language, because
we can f*** it up.
I think so. Peace.
Bye, guys.